Fear and intimidation, for too many people, it's what they believe they need to lash out with in order to matter in our world. You've probably experienced it where you work, maybe at school. We've certainly seen it from people in elected office. When someone tries to inflict fear or intimidation on you, that most likely makes you think it's because they don't like you. Truth is that these people really don't like themselves much. Inside, they feel frustrated, maybe angry because they don't believe life worked out for them the way that they hoped. So instead of trying to change their ways, they instead take it out on you. James chapter 3, verse 16 reveals the truth about these people. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 8 also reveals this to us. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. In most cases, it's ego. Really, that compels people to create fear and intimidation. These are people who have turned away from the truth that we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares about you. When someone tries to instill fear or intimidation against you, don't let their anger press down on you, because it's not you who they're angry with. Again, they're angry at themselves over what they see when they look at their life. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 explains exactly what these people are creating. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. There's no doubt that our world is filled with a growing number of people seeking to create fear and intimidation. Mentioned before, work location, schools. It's not limited to those two locations, obviously. Stores, hospitals, the roads we drive on. Too many people are too easily triggered into anger, and that leads them to respond with creating fear and intimidation. If it feels like there are more people like this than ever before, those who know God's word shouldn't be surprised, because we have been warned about these times. Jesus alerts us to this in Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 12. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. We're also given this warning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slandering, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. I know that sounds like a heavy load that we're being challenged by, but as children of God, we also know that he will lighten our load. Jesus makes this promise to us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At the same time, God will allow us to face challenging times in order to strengthen us. Think of it as like the person who goes to a gym to build physical strength. Do they reach for the 5-pound weights or the 50-pound weights? Same goes for us spiritually, as Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 explains. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 adds this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We're not to just read the word of God, but to live it. We're called on to live it in ways that brings his light into this world that Satan has covered in his darkness. We are to live God's word in an outward way that will awaken those who try to project that fear and intimidation I'm talking about. God directs us to this with his words in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Does that sound like a massive responsibility to you? It shouldn't. If you have faith, then you're fully equipped. Jesus confirms this in John chapter 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. As I said at the start of this teaching, there are way too many angry, hostile people in our world today. God isn't asking you to give counsel to all of them, but one will be a great start. If you know his word, then you can do the work that Jesus assigns to us in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.